When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV in association with MTK Global. You know, as always, I'm delighted to be joined by Sean, Shawnee Mac, Bang Bang Gravy Chip McComb himself. Sean, a couple of days, a few days after your fight, you're back home in Belfast with your lovely family, your young family now. First and foremost, how are you? How's things?
I'm all good, yeah. The dust has settled. Just enjoying some family time. Obviously, my baby's only 6 weeks old now as well, so we missed a lot of time due to being in camp with him being born and stuff. So just enjoying that, to be honest.
I know you sent out a tweet saying, or on Instagram as well, saying that when you were getting hit by Gavin Gwynn, that it wasn't just you in that ring anymore. You were thinking about the family back home, the little boy that you've got back home and stuff like that. Was that a major decision in you sort of like saying no more sort of thing in that fight against Gavin?
No, see, like, I've had a few days to think about it. Like, I can't explain how I felt. I'll never see the best way to describe it. It was a Ronnie O'Sullivan, it was a moment of Ronnie O'Sullivan madness. Like, it was a Ronnie O'Sullivan thing. Like, just fuck this. Mm. Like, Ronnie O'Sullivan wanted to get hit at 147 and just fuck this. Because at that stage, even when I watched it back, the fight, it was level. You could give it level, three rounds apiece. Like, I wasn't getting beat up. Do you know what I mean? Hats off to Gavin Gwynn. He came out with a serious game plan. He was there. He was tough as old boots. And he came to win. And he won. But he wasn't beating me up. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like I was getting beat up and I was well out of my depth. It was just a moment of madness where I just thought, fuck this, I can't be annoyed. And I don't know where I came from. It's just that madness. It's just in some people. And we've seen it with some people over the years. Like, Michael Gomez done it against Peter McDonagh at one stage. We've seen the likes of Mayorga, Johnny Tapia, all these, like, people. Like, now I probably understand why them type of people do what they do. It was just one switch in my head. I just was, fuck this. And I was thinking about my baby and my channel, but it was just like, I was smart enough to know that it wasn't on my game that night. And I just thought, fuck it, I'll come again, take them gloves off, get them off me. I'm not happy with myself. I'm not happy with my performance. No matter if I'm winning or drawing or losing, I'm not happy. Just take them off. And that's what happened. And it's okay. Like, it's not the end of the world. People are questioning my heart and questioning all this stuff. And they're like, fair enough. It's understandable as boxing fans. If they want to do that.
So what do you say to people that say you quit? Because I know there was the thing on Twitter has always been that thing with O'Hara Davis and stuff like that. So what do you say to people that you quit? You said it was a moment of madness, but again, you never had the best preparation in terms of Danny Vaughan, and he was out in Dubai. You started a new business, a new baby. I mean, everything was just up in the air for this whole camp. So there is factors in play here, isn't there?
Well, there's factors in play, but they're not excuses, do you know what I mean? Like, maybe not to that extreme with Gavin Gwynn. I was going to say he dealt with the same situations. He didn't, because he didn't have a newborn baby and he didn't open a new business and he wasn't travelling halfway around the world through a camp. I don't put them down as excuses, because at the end of the day, that was on me to go and do them things. And I felt good in camp, felt brilliant, and it was long, very, very long, and there was times there where I felt just depressed of, like, the same old setbacks, the same old shit that's been on, and the camp, the fight being delayed and stuff like that. But other than that, like, for people saying I quit, no, like, it's like, I'm glad their eyes worked because they did quit. When you watch the half fight and you see I turn my back, I decided, like, get them gloves off me. And that, like, I was unhappy with my performance. I was unhappy with, I just, like I say, it was a moment of madness, and it wasn't because I was hurt or I was, like, tired. It was, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, it wasn't any of those. It was just, like, fuck this. This is doing my head in. And that's the best way to describe it. It was a Ronnie O'Sullivan moment. It was just like, fuck this.
Yeah. Do you regret it now, looking back on it, since the dust has settled? Has it been a few days since the fight? Do you have any regret just turning your back? Because again, as a fan, like, I know you, Sean, I'm good friends with you. And like, when I was watching the fight, I was like, oh God, this is another good Sean McComb fight. This is another fight where Sean's going to bite down on the gum shield and go for it. Do you know what I mean? Do you have any regrets in that? Because it was an entertaining fight for however long it was.
It was a brilliant fight, a really, really good fight. I watched it back, and it was like, it was a classic. I actually messaged Gavin Gwynn privately, and I apologized for throwing the toys out of the pram and turning my back and giving up, because it was such a good fight for the fans, and I apologized that. To Gavin for turning me back and making the fight stop early, because it could have been a fight of the year contender had it gone the 12 rounds. It's just one of them. I don't know. It's
do you regret just, it, Sean? Do you regret it?
I do. Yes, of course. Yeah. I do. Yeah, because it's a split second decision. It's a split second decision. Like, the referee waved it off as soon as I turned it back. And at that stage, I was like, I don't care. Just get them gloves off me. I'm not happy with my performance here. I'm not happy with what way I'm performing. I'm just couldn't be annoyed. Just take them off. But had the referee maybe stopped and went, now the referee done his job, done a burning job. He was ready to do so. But sometimes when a fighter's given a couple of seconds extra, they actually get that. There's a twitch in their head that may make them go, right, that's there again. Like, you see, like, fighters who would be happy to be waved off at a certain stage, mm-hmm. but if they're given, and like, let's say, for example, a fighter gets knocked down and he gets up, but he's unsteady, but the referee's happy to let him go on, mm-hmm. and he gets knocked down again and he gets stopped and it doesn't carry on. Had the referee have made that decision the first time, the boxer's not going to question it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But he's going to say, yes, I'll fight on, no problem, if he's given the decision to do so. The same, if the referee had stopped me and turned me around and there had been 4 or 5 seconds passed, he's like, what are you doing? Are you fighting or what? Here, I don't know. There's a possibility that I just went, yeah, let's do it, fuck it.
Yeah.
And then just went on my bike and started moving more, and I could have done that. I didn't, and it's just the way it happened. It happened. I do regret it, because when I watched it back, it was such a good fight. So I regret that, and I'll deal with it. I do deal with it like a normal person. I'm okay. I'm like, mentally, physically, I'm okay. I don't mind. Like, it's just another. It's maybe not fair on the fans, but at the end of the day, no one's going to get in that ring for me and do what I have to do. And until I'm fully happy doing what I'm doing in that ring, then, it is what it is.
It's a dangerous sport, Sean. So, again, like, Gavin was relentless in that fight, and it seems like you couldn't get him off him. I just want to go back to what you said when you said you weren't happy with your performance. This was your first fight down at 135, and I said to you, like, just around the hotel, that I didn't think you could make 135, and you've done it easily. But do you feel like because of that extra 5 pounds that you lost, because it was, well, you, I think you never fought at 140 championship weight before, did you? I think you were always 140.
Yeah, I did once.
So again, the 5 pounds, that's quite a lot of weight to lose. Did that have any effect in your punching power, the snap in your punches, your legs, or anything like that, do you feel?
No, honestly, I'll be honest, I didn't. Mm. I didn't at all. I didn't feel, my legs were not one bit tired. My arms were not one bit tired. Gavin Gwynn was just one tough bastard. And I was hitting him with good, clean shots, and he took them well and just kept playing forward. And he said that was part of his game plan. Like, he cut me early, and he was happy with it. It was a head clash. He cut me again in the second round when he was even happy. That gives him momentum. He done his post-interview, and he says that gave him momentum, seeing the blood, and he was playing and encouraging him on more to put more pressure on and more pressure on. And he got it worked in his favor. I was just, I don't know, I was starting trading for too long and mixing for too long and holding my feet for too long. And that just maybe down to lack of sparring, which I didn't really have because of COVID restrictions and whatnot. Also a lack of, like, it was part of the game plan. We didn't want to be moving, like, relentlessly around the ring for no reason, but I could have done that and I wouldn't have got hit.
Mm-hmm.
But then the fight would have been born and we would have, would have been shit. So
it was an entertaining fight.
You can't keep everyone happy.
No, you can't, mate. You can't, especially in boxing and stuff like that, because you do, you're going to have your critics no matter what you do in life, and especially in boxing. But this isn't the end for you. This, you're going to come back stronger than this, and you're going to continue at 135 lightweight.
We'll see what opportunities come. I want to continue on. I'll be happy to go to 140 again. I'll be happy to go either way. But like I say, honestly, I do mean that when I was down at 135, I felt good. I wasn't tired. I was more mentally drained due to the long camp than I was physically drained due to the weight loss. And I believe that I felt very good at 135 in terms of strength and tiredness and fatigue. Like, honestly, I was okay. I was good. Like, the pace of that fight was, like, unbelievable pace. And I never seen the same thing with Josh Kelly as well. Like, the next night, it was a very similar fight. Mm. Even the cut on the back of the head was very similar. It was just like, it was like a replay of my fight all over again at a different weight class. And the same thing again. Like, it's like the circumstances were different. Obviously, Josh didn't turn his back and do what I done. But I'm almost 100% sure Josh Kelly will probably come back and win a world title, or good enough to come back and do so, and that will make him 100 times better fighter. And I'm just sitting watching going, like, I have nothing to even criticize Josh Kelly for based on that performance, because he was brilliant, he was phenomenal, but it's just experience now and learning how to deal with that type of fight in the future, and then he will do exactly that, watching that back.
It's that old cliche, Sean, isn't it, that it's not a loss, it's a lesson. Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly it.
You learn from that. Like, you're going to learn from this, the Gavin Gwynn fight, and be like, well, Gavin Gwynn, he's already fought for the British title. He's fought for the Commonwealth title. Do you know what I mean? He's been in with Tennyson. He's been in with guys like Joe Cordina. He's been in with the guys that you haven't had the caliber of fighting yet. Although he may have lost against these guys, but he's been in there. And this is his third chance at this Commonwealth title at championship level. Do you know what I mean? This was your first real shot at it. So, again, it's going to be experience for you going into your next title fight.
100%. No, big experience. Big. There's a lot to gain there. Mm. Loads to gain there. And it's not really about what I win now. It's about what I win, where my career finishes and ends, and what I pick up to end my career with. So it's that end goal is the main priority here.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. People said O'Hara quit when he fought Josh Taylor, but now look at him. He's the golden contract winner. So, I mean, he's had big fights, won big titles, earned good money. Do you know what I mean? So even although he turned his back against Josh, it's not the end. Do you know what I mean? People, it's a 24-hour news cycle.
I was guilty of giving him stick for quitting. So I do know, like, he's winning now, like, because he, like you say, he's going contract champion. He's learned a lot from it. But the difference is, like, Josh Taylor was obviously beating him up. I wasn't getting beat up. Like, I was level, probably level in points, three rounds apiece after six and the seven. So it's different, but it's the exact same, only different.
Exactly, only different. Yeah, but see what's intriguing. Like, for me, when I was watching the fight, is you like 5 or 6 seconds before you turned your back, you sort of planted your feet and just went bang, 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 and laying about four body shots, and you went for it. And I was like, there, he's biting down his gumshield, he's going for it. Then when you turned your back, I was like, whoa. So it was that shock. I was like, you from that split second of biting down your gumshield, standing your ground, planting your feet, and then laying in them body shots, and then turning your back. I was like, oh shit, something's happened. I didn't know what happened. Do you know what I mean? But I felt like you were in the fight still, and you were still going for it, because
we're still in the fight, like, still definitely in the fight, like, and as I say, I wasn't hurt, or wasn't tired, I was frustrated. I was frustrated. Mm-hmm. I was pissed off. Even when I was getting good shots off, I was still pissed off. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what am I doing? Why am I holding my feet? Why am I constantly just doing the same thing over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. And each round I went out to change it up, I couldn't do it. I was just happy getting straight back into that same rut of same, like, come back, throwing that left uppercut, and throwing the hook, and just staying in, holding, and just, I was just, as every time I went out to start a new round, I was thinking, right, I'll change it here. I'll change it, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't get myself up to do it.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you then, Sean? What are you hoping for? I know, like you said, you've got a wee boy there that you've probably only, he's 6 weeks old. You've probably seen him about 3 days of that 6 weeks.
No, I don't even know who I am.
He looks like you though, so there you go. I've seen the picture.
He's definitely yours.
No, but what's next for you, mate?
I don't know. Like I say, I'll spend some good family time, some good time with the family. I'll get my new gym opened, hopefully now with a bit more sight,
mm-hmm.
a bit more of a vision now on what's happened with COVID restrictions and stuff after the guidelines have just been released of what's happening, and working on getting the gym open again. And then I would like to get back out again soon. Like, I want to get back out again. I want to put things right, and I want to crack on with my career, and I want to put that behind me. Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's a bump in the road. It's a big one to take. But anyone who's ever watched me box knows that I have a lot more to give to this sport. Like, and people, like, I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, it's always going to be brought up that I've no heart, I've no balls, I turn my back and I quit. I don't care about that. Like, because anyone who's ever seen me sparring or seen me in the gym knows that's not true. And the people who do know it are the only ones that I need to. Do you know what? I want to say it. See, people who think I have no heart, it's going to be better for me. Because my opponents, my future opponents, are going to think I have no heart. And they're going to come and come and come. And my game plan is going to be, I'm going to box the fucking head of you. And I'm going to make sure I don't get hit. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to move my feet and I'm going to get lazy. And I'm going to just use that as a way to box the head of people and not get hit. And Sugar Ray Leonard is coming out of Sugar Sean McComb.
There we go. That's a perfect way to end this, Sean. Sean, go spend some time with your lovely family, mate. Again, thanks for this for IFL TV and myself, man. Always a pleasure to speak to you, my man. And like I say, look forward to the next one. Stay safe, bro.
Man, speak soon, lad.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.
Sports Social Podcast Network.